We know household debt is a problem in this country. You hear it anecdotally all the time from people who are struggling, and the data really backs it up from so many different sources. One of those sources is the 2019 Household Debt Survey. It comes from Credit Canada and FP Canada, formerly the Financial Planning Standards Council. We're going to look at what Canadians have revealed about the debt that they carry today with Kelly Keene. She is a personal finance educator and consumer advocate for FP Canada. She joins us now from Edmonton, Alberta, to talk about the results of the survey and how Canadians can tackle their debt. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Great to be with you.
What are some of the findings from this year's survey? Was there some like fairy dust or magic that happened that changed everything from last year?
You know what? Canadians continue to be in debt. I mean, it's the number one rule of economics, right? Incentives drive the market. If we were having this conversation 30 years ago with double-digit interest rates, we would be talking probably about how people keep saving money because the incentive is there. And because interest rates continue to stay low, more and more Canadians are still in debt. So a couple of standout findings from this survey, 19% of those surveyed with debt, actually, this is a little bit heartbreaking for me, need to liquidate assets to actually help pay down their debt in 2019, cashing out RSPs, getting a second mortgage, and 62% of those with debt are anticipating taking on new debt this year, lines of credit, a new vehicle loan, credit card balance. A lot of people still struggling with this, as you know, Bruce.
I was really surprised about that finding on the liquidation point. And I'm interested in talking more about what assets they would consider liquidating. Because what I find is most people don't mind sitting on credit card debt. They just pay the minimum. And I'm minimizing it in some ways. But they view it as a chronic problem versus anything with urgency associated with it.
You make such a great point. I think a lot of people even just see that minimum payment as a bill. They don't question it. They see their mortgage payment as a bill. They don't question. They never get on a calculator online. I mean, you don't have to be good at math. There's the Financial Consumer Agency of Canada. You can just Google them and calculator, or go to Credit Canada, and you'll see that just a few dollars more a day, in addition to making your minimum payment. Bruce, I don't know if you've ever opened up your credit card statement. I'm sure you have, and you know everything about it. But there's a little box either on the front page or the back. Our government actually legislated banks to show you how long it would take if you only made your minimum payment. And I think people just ignore that because, right, you get stressed, you get apathetic, and you do nothing.
So it also, I don't love it as a metric, to be perfectly honest, because I look at it and it says like 89 months. Well, I don't know what that means. What would be material to me is if you pay your minimum payment, you will have to pay $300 in interest this month and $3,000 in interest over the course of the next 12 months. I think there are better metrics.
Absolutely. And that's the importance of not feeling apathetic, not feeling despondent, and that there is no hope, actually physically going onto that online calculator. Because if you punch those numbers in, you're going to get exactly that, Bruce. It's going to say it's going to take you this many years, it's this much interest. But $2 more a day saves you thousands of dollars in interest, let's say, for years off. And then you kind of get excited about that. You're like, wow,
I can do this.
$2 a day, you know?
The survey also found that almost two-thirds of Canadians with debt anticipate taking on new forms of debt in the year ahead. What are we talking about when we talk about new forms?
Right. So that's increasing their debt load. That means they feel that they're going to actually have to. Now, maybe some of those are valid, like a car loan or increasing their mortgage. We didn't get into the why, unfortunately, in the survey. But some of the concerning ones were, you know, taking on more credit card debt. So that is the why. And that underscores the importance of seeing someone like a nonprofit credit counselor or a certified financial planner. If you are already in debt and you're taking on more, either just to make ends meet, maybe not really examining the needs versus the wants, not understanding the full picture. And then if you're cashing in, an RSP, my goodness, this is where people really have to understand if you need $1,000 bucks and you're taking it from your RSP, you're not getting $1,000 in your hands anyway. Yeah. You're going to be taxed. You're maybe even going to be taxed more at tax time, and you lose that room forever. So no judgment. People are doing it. They don't have, most Canadians don't have adequate emergency savings. But if you're doing that, please reach out and get help. Mm. Because that should be a last resort.
You have something called the 30-day anti-budget exercise. What's this?
Indeed, I do. I don't think budgets work. I think they're like diets. I think for the people that they work for, they work for. And those people don't need help. But for the rest of us that, you know, aren't great with diets or budgets, you need to have an awakening. And it's an exercise in behavioral change as well. So all I ask my readers to do is for 30 days, write down every single thing you spend money on. Now, you don't have to do this if you don't want. If you just use one credit card or one debit card, your bank is going to do all of that tracking for you. But you still need to dig. You need to be a little bit of a financial detective and go through everything you're paying for, Bruce. Bank fees, ATM fees, NSF charges, loan costs, all of this type of stuff. Then what you want to do at the end of the month, and research has shown that when you do this with your food intake, it makes a huge difference with weight loss. I haven't seen hard data on financial, counting your financial calories, but I know anecdotally it makes a difference for people. At the end of the month, you categorize everything, and then it's an eye-opener for you and your family. Where is your money going? Not a set budget of what you should be spending. Where's your money going? And then once you see that, as a family, you can see where you want to trim the fat. And then, Bruce, once you have those categories, of, you know, what's going for extracurricular activities or dining out or whatever. Again, it's about choice and awareness, not sacrifice here. You decide, but also make sure you multiply it by 12 because now you see maybe your family does have more money for investments or debt repayment or a holiday if you just would pay attention to where that money's going.
I'm a big fan of that approach. And in particular, I like the writing it down in some sort of a journal because I think there's a way to have you be conscious of your spending because you've got the pen and paper at all times. I think there's real power in that. I want to link this debt topic to you, to your work with FP Canada, because one of the, it's very easy for us to send people to a nonprofit credit counselor. That's what they do. Many financial planners either begin from the investing perspective, or they really feel like their compensation is exclusively tied to the investing part of it. What counsel do you have for Canadians who don't necessarily think of their financial planner in the context of debt? Because maybe they feel like, geez, I just went to my branch and they sold me a mutual fund and like that's kind of it. But there, you would probably argue there's a role for them to play.
Absolutely. And you make a very good point. There's a lot of misconceptions of how financial planners work or advisors. And there's so many terms, it makes it very confusing for the public. But let's just take someone like a certified financial planner. You're going to find two different types, and it depends on how they charge. So that is the first question. Now, there's fee-only financial planners that don't represent any product at all. They're not going to sell you a mutual fund or life insurance or anything. They're going to do analysis for you, and they're going to charge you by the hour or they're going to charge you by the plan. So a lot of people might, let's say someone who's in debt, they have a decent income, but they have zero assets. The other financial planner or advisor that will only see you based on what assets you bring in, that person might be saying, well, a planner's not right for me because I don't have any money. But if you're willing to invest in a conversation like, maybe should you invest in RSP because you're a high income earner, take that tax deduction, pay it down on your debt. I'm just making something up here. They'll run that analysis for you, regardless if you have assets or not. So that's the first question. And if you go to financialplanningforcanadians.ca, that's our consumer website. There's some fantastic videos and articles there that will empower you to ask the right questions, either of your current advisor or planner, if you're shopping around for someone new. But that's one of your first questions is, how do you get paid and compensated so you know if you're going to the right person or not?
And make sure as a consumer you're getting the value for the money you're paying, because it is about much more than just the investment stuff. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bruce. Always a pleasure.
Kelly Keene, consumer advocate for FP Canada, formerly the Financial Planning Standards Council. She was here to talk about the 2019 Household Debt Survey.